Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning into the Music Matters Episode 2 podcast. In this episode, myself, Michael, and my friend TJH discuss the current trends and kind of what's dominating pop radio, but also kind of how genres ebb and flow throughout the passage of time, some of the reasons for why that may be happening, and trying to figure out how to speculate on maybe where music is going. Check out what we had to say.
The idea that pop music, what's popular in culture, seems to go in different waves.
Okay.
And we saw, it's all in hip hop, but we saw trap kind of dominate everything for about a year. Before that, Drake's version of rap with the dance hall mixed with the kind of emo style lyrics or whatever dominated everything for, I don't know, half, almost, I guess like 7 years?
Well, yes. Now, we do have to look at this from a couple of perspectives, okay? Because when we say dominate, right, you got to figure out what you're using as your measure to state that something is dominating, right? For example, if you're on your way home and you turn on your radio to one of the top 40 stations in Omaha, I don't know them currently by name or by frequency, but if you were to turn one of them on, there's a very high probability that you're going to have one of those stations. Yes, there will be some rap influence because you can't deny the influence of rap throughout popular music, even if it's just a feature where they throw in rap part of a verse. But if you listen to that station all day, you may not realize how dominant rap is. You may be
sure.
You won't even realize it. And then you'll go look at, say, streaming charts, and then you're like, well, could something else ever hit number one other than a rap album? So I think, because those top 40 stations are showing what's dominating a good portion of popular culture, and it seems not to recognize the domination of rap in some areas. Now, you could talk about all the reasons why, but so sometimes you have to kind of see, when you say something is dominating where, what, how are we measuring it? What are we looking at? Because you're right. Right now, streaming is dominated by rap as far as the big numbers, because Apple doesn't release us a list of the streaming numbers for that week. I mean, I would love to get the top 20. We see the chart, but I would like to see let's look at the rock albums, okay? Because I think I don't know if on Apple you can pull up the rock charts. I think you may be able to. But if you pick by genre, okay, we have a rock album that's been released, and let's say we don't get those numbers. The articles will always show you the album that had a bazillion streams. Okay, great. That is dominating. But what are those other genres? How big a numbers are they pulling in? Because they may demonstrate a larger influence than we perceive. Does that make sense?
Sure. I think maybe it's hard, as you mentioned, because the radio, I think it's probably mostly due to the explicit nature of a lot of the hip hop world. The radio is not going to play a lot of what seems to be dominating streaming. But I think that maybe if you, and it's expanding the numbers, you still don't get the full clear picture. As an aside, maybe we could probably say that it's possible that Billboard just adjusted their numbers so that they include streaming more.
Right.
We'll see if they keep adjusting it.
Yeah, a stream now has more weight than it did in 2017. Now, yes, it doesn't need to be adjusted even more. It probably, I'm assuming at some point it will have to, but then look at J. Cole. I mean, J. Cole dominated the physical sales. So I don't even,
sure.
What happened there? I don't even know how to classify that. That's weird. What was going on? Who knows? So,
try not to get too distracted with that. The thing that I was going to say is I think maybe more so than just the Apple charts or maybe the Billboard Top 200 charts is if you look at the Billboard Hot 100 charts, which is the singles that are popular, and I haven't done this recently, but I have done this in the past. If you take the top 100, it's, I want to say it's probably about 80, 20 or 70, 30 with hip hop to, for lack of a better term, more like standard top 40 radio style hits.
Okay.
So it's still, you know, the domination of hip hop, I mean, it's still a relative term and we have to figure out what that kind of means. But regardless, it's huge. Whether we're just looking at streaming sales or physical sales, it does seem that right now in general, even if we use the Hot 100, hip-hop is the dominant force by a overwhelming majority.
Yes, it definitely, I mean, there's no way to deny its power, but I'm just saying, like, in, here in Abilene, if I turn on Power 103, and I listen to Power 103, which is the top 40, number one top 40 channel in this area, I'll hear God's Plan, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know what else, I don't know what other rap I may hear in an entire day.
And obviously
that channel, I mean, it's the number one channel here, and no matter how much things change, radio still has some power. Now, so I'm just saying that there's plenty of people out there listening to stuff that is not as, you know, Ariana Grande's new song and stuff along those lines.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Where it's your, like you said, your more traditional top 40. I think that's still a powerful force. However, when you listen to that, you still, though, can hear the rap influence because the rap influence is all over it.
Definitely. So trap drums have taken over. Electronic has taken over.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely there. So I guess if we're talking about this, then we have to talk streaming versus top 40 radio. Which are more people doing? And I'm sure that those numbers are probably, I mean, the fact that Billboard is kind of changing how everything works is I don't think everyone fully understands or knows for sure how to take streaming into account. Because
I think they're still trying to figure it out. I think the main thing they're trying to figure out, or at least I think the main motivating factor was physical sales were declining, streaming was going up, so we've got to now figure out how to count a stream versus the physical sale of a CD.
Sure.
Or a digital download from, you know, iTunes, whatever. And I think, obviously, the physical sales are decreasing dramatically other than vinyl sales, which are continuing to increase by large numbers, which, like, how do you figure all this out? So I think they're still trying to figure out how to work all of that. Where radio comes in, I don't know if they've done a lot of like reconsidering or refactoring how much radio influences stuff. But I think the big issue between about streaming has been it's how do you work that against the physical sale, and so then that has some impact obviously on the charts, especially mainly album charts more than single charts.
Yeah. So I had mentioned this earlier when we were texting back and forth. It seems like the trends of pop music don't follow a pattern that's maybe as easy to, like, I've heard people talk about how, like, clothing styles are pretty cyclical and they tend to follow a cycle that's easier to track. Whereas I think like pop music seems to be more erratic with the ebbs and flows of what is in and what is not in. And when you, it's, I don't know, I guess it's hard because I never really considered how different the top 40 radio stations and how different the top 40 songs on streaming networks are.
Well, I mean, again, it depends on every city will have a top 40 channel that tends to try to appeal more to the R&B rap world more so. And so sometimes you'll hear that influence more, but I'm just saying every city has a top 40 channel that definitely does not, if you listen to it, you would not get the complete idea of how dominant rap is. So I got to make sure I draw that distinction, because I think in our city, I think there's a channel called 96Q, which is far more attuned to the influence of rap than, say, Power 103.
Sure, we have so two stations. One is more non-hip-hop focused, and one is more accepting of that stuff, too, as well.
Exactly. Okay. Almost every city does the exact same thing. So,
Whereas one, you hear Ed Sheeran, and the other one, I guess the pop station, you're still going to hear Ed Sheeran. But if you look at the streaming numbers, Ed Sheeran did well with his recent album. But
yeah,
compared to Drake.
Number one in January. Yeah.
I mean, compared to Drake, it's
exactly.
Nothing.
Yes. But Drake reached such a level that he did ultimately cross over, not only because the song wasn't too explicit.
Yeah.
So it was able to cross over. So like I said, I turned on Power 103 the other day and boom, there's God's Plan. So and it's played all the time. So Drake was, you know, smart enough to get that over. Now his newer track, unless they do a massive radio edit, there's no way that's going to make it to most top 40 channels.
It is basically impossible to tell what that song is about if you're listening to the radio edit.
Exactly. True. Absolutely.
So I guess it's weird because we're rambling. It's a hard question, but do you think it's possible to predict what's going to, like, is anything going to take over hip hop in the streaming top charts? Are we going to see something? I mean, it was weird because the only thing that's even come close that I can think of, and this is a weird thing to say, is the Greatest Showman soundtrack is the only thing that week by week for more than, you know, 1 or 2 weeks at a time has ever even come close.
Right. The only way to predict it is, if we go back, I can just go back to as long as I've been listening to music religiously since, let's say, I was in kindergarten. Okay, so, and then, you know, I had subscription to Billboard magazine. So if you go back to all my, like, religious focus on music, this seems to be what transpires or what happens. Okay, a certain sound begins to dominate, we'll call it, quote unquote, the mainstream, right? There's a mainstream that's the sound. And whatever that sound may be, because within the pop world, you know, I always say pop is the gravity of music, right?
And these things, it's not, you know, not to interrupt you too much, but these are easy to point out if you listen to a decade station. You can easily kind of figure out the homogenous nature of what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Pop is this gravitational force. So you have all these genres, and then what happens is those genres kind of get sucked in to a pop sound. And so that pop sound will kind of show you which of those genres out there are dominant or are the most influential, whether it's EDM, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's R&B, whatever it may be. And so if you're listening to a pop channel, you'll kind of hear, okay, here are these other genres out there. We're not going to go hardcore into those, but we hear the influence within the pop world. Okay.
You hear so, Skrillex make a Justin Bieber album.
There you go. Exactly. So which then shows the power of EDM even over the pop world. And then if you just listen to pop for a long period of time, there was no way to deny the power of EDM. It was everywhere.
Yes.
So what happens is you'll have a certain sound that begins to dominate within the pop world. And whatever reason, sometimes it's hard to know, because I think the reason it becomes a massive change takes place is because of the generation, the nature of the so-called music fan, because what happens is someone hits around 13, 14, they discover this wonderful world of music, and they love it, and they love it, and they love it. Now, the one thing they don't want to do is they almost just subconsciously, they don't want the sound that their mom and dad likes. So they're drawn to that, the whatever the sound they're drawn to typically is somehow distinguished from the sound of their parents in some way, shape, or form, right? And then the parents complain, I don't like this music today, it's a bunch of garbage. And then the kids are drawn to it. And then that begins to become the dominant sound for that generation. Well, we all know what happens, 21, 22, that hardcore so-called music fan stops now listening to much music. They either drop out completely or their involvement is very limited, or if they're still involved, they're still listening to the stuff that they liked when they were 13, 14, 15.
Or they just recognize the top 40 radio.
Right, and it's just background. They're not really invested too much.
Yep.
And so they kind of become the people who start saying, there's no good music today. It's all a bunch of garbage. And you're like, whatever. Okay, so because that happens, well, then a sound comes in, and then once that generation begins to move on, well, the sound is going to become captured. A new sound is going to be captured by that next generation. The only way to make a prediction of what's going to happen is – typically, you've got to be listening. You've got to be listening to stuff that's coming out all over the place, and try to find that one album that becomes the catalyst that blows everything up.
You have to find something adjacent to the pop scene, but different enough than the status quo that the youth attach.
It can be. Sometimes it doesn't have to be even adjacent enough to the pop scene, because I would argue that in many ways, Nevermind by Nirvana wasn't really adjacent to the pop sound.
So like, this is something that's literally impossible for me to, like, I was born in the year 1990. It is impossible for me to hear the album Nevermind and not associate it with pop music.
Yeah, exactly. But trust me, for those of us who turned it on, we were like, what the heck is this? Okay. Unless you were listening to, you know, some albums in the 1980s that really kind of gave the birth to Nevermind. So in other words, if you were way out there in non-mainstream world paying close attention, you could have been hearing some albums going, something's happening. Hey, guys, we need to pay attention. But before anyone paid attention, all of a sudden, boom, Nirvana hit the scene and the whole world went, what the heck is this? Okay, and then everything changed. And then entire genres that dominated the world were destroyed because Nirvana now changed everything. And now that became the dominant sound, and all the sounds that were dominant prior to it, they literally went out of business. Bands fell apart. Record companies lost money. Like, they didn't know what happened. They were like, what just happened? Nobody likes this anymore because everyone moved on. And so...
And once again, you can hear that very clearly if you listen to a decade station of the 80s and the 90s.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It changed. Now, we could argue that change may not be as dynamic or dramatic today because of how much is available and people are spread out over all kinds of different genres. I mean, things have changed because of what things are available.
There's so many albums available that not everybody's listening to the same 20.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the same concept I still think is in play. The key is if I'm really like hardcore listening to everything, like you still want to keep touch to the base. And I think that's why I spend a lot of time listening to maybe today's hits or charts now on Apple, their station. I may listen to the playlist on Spotify, today's hits, because I keep up with what is dominating now. But if I'm listening to all these other albums that are coming out, it doesn't matter if it's rock, it doesn't matter if it's country, it doesn't matter where it is. Not everyone can do this, but certain people have that ability to hear something and go, hey, right here, this is it. And now, typically when you say this is it, everyone's going to be like, you're out of your stinking mind, that sucks, no one's ever going to listen to that crap. And all you have to do is just usually wait long enough, and all the people who told you it was crap and it would never catch on, write their names down, and then wait long enough, and then you can call them all back and go, yeah, I told you.
So what's the next thing then? If
I don't know.
You've had good history with predicting some of this stuff in the past. Is it that you haven't heard anything convincing yet?
I can't say I've heard anything yet that made me go, whoa, that's it. I can't say. I mean, trust me, when I do, you'll chat with me all day, so you'll know at some point when I start going, hey, hello. And because usually I'll post something 5,000 times when I'm trying to get people's attention about something. but you just never know when you're going to hear it. You never know. You know, the day back when, I can't remember the name of the music service, you paid like a $15 subscription. This was a long time ago. And basically then because of that $15 subscription, you could download, I can't remember what it was, like 30 songs. And so I was a subscription, I subscribed to this service. I don't remember what it was called, but it was really like, it was kind of a way off the beaten path, right? And they threw a lot, now there was a lot of well-known stuff on there, but they also kind of went with this other stuff that you wouldn't really find anywhere. And so all of a sudden, one day, I got, you know, my, it was that time when I could go download my 30 for that month, and I went looking around, and I'm like, who's this teenager? Okay, wait, what's this song? Okay, wait, something about Tim McGraw. Okay, I know who Tim McGraw is. Wait, let me listen to this. Wait, who is this girl? Taylor Swift? Who is, okay, all right. And so I listened to the song, and I was like, wait a minute. Hey, guys, right here. This is the girl. This is the girl. And I can't tell you. I can't.
And you were wrong, because no one's ever heard of her.
I can't put my finger to what it was. I can't put my finger, like, there was just something about her voice, something about her. There's just something that I felt like this could be it. And I had no idea where she was ultimately going to go. I just started telling everyone this girl, and people thought I was insane. And, well, it just started to grow. I just knew that she had a voice that I felt could transcend country. And it ended up being right. But you never know. I mean, you just never know where it is. You never know. You may hear it and not even recognize it. And it's hard to know, you know, it's hard to know where that sound is and where it's coming from. I don't know, you know.
We can see micro trends. For a little bit, we were seeing a little bit of country features on R&B albums.
Yeah, that's, well.
Or records, I guess.
Country, well, thanks to the Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
I mean, my
Never
goodness.
Say that.
I
mean, Never say that. Don't say thanks to Florida Georgia Line.
Well, I mean, I hate them with every ounce of my being. I can't stand them. And you talk about, now, that's something I missed. Because when Florida Georgia Line first came out, and they did a stupid song, Cruise, or whatever that crap was, right?
Yeah.
I would have never said, this is going to be a big deal. I would have never realized how big a deal it became. And now look at them. Like, what they have, they have crossed over with, what, two different pop stars in 2018 who've had songs on the chart? And
you're like, they're on the Hot 100 with that stuff, yeah.
Vivarexa,
yep.
And I can't remember the other, but yeah. I should note, but yeah, I mean, who could have seen that? But then, in a certain way, we should have seen it, because it became obvious a long time ago that country was going pop sound. They were going to more mainstream pop sound.
I mean, we got a little tease. It didn't necessarily end up as much as we thought, but there was the Chris Stapleton, Justin Timberlake collab.
Right. Right. And when that whole Crossroads show that was on CMT, that was, you know, Sugarland with Bon Jovi, Taylor Swift did her thing with Def Leppard. There was all this, they brought these real popular rock artists with country artists and merged them together. And the show was awesome. I loved it. But
rock and country seems to flow a lot better than hip-hop and country, though.
Oh, it absolutely does. But the point is, once you kind of get – you get something going, then they're willing to start experimenting and see how far they can push it.
Sure.
They did. So, yeah, I mean, the key is to know where it's going is a lot of listening to a lot of stuff and trying to figure out, you know, I think everyone agrees. I don't know when this generation kind of gets to that 22, 23 age. I don't know how many years we have to wait, but I think we'll start transitioning in the next 3 maybe years. Away from a rap dominated, something is going to come along and everybody's going to be like, that's it. And now, not saying that rap will die. I'm just
sure.
saying that.
Well, no. I don't think it'll die, but it may not be as prominent as it is now, which honestly, and I don't know how everyone else is, but I like when I can listen to a decade station and there's a huge mix of, I mean, it's all pop, obviously, when you're listening to a decade's pop station, but there's a country, there's rock. There's
right.
quote-unquote standard pop. There's hip-hop. There's all
right.
kinds of mix. And that's a really cool thing for me. I like to be
yeah.
able to kind of see a blend of everything.
Now sometimes those decades channels can give you a wrong perception of the decade.
Sure.
because they're pulling in stuff, and sometimes they're pulling in stuff that, hey, like if I listen to an 80s decades channel, they're pulling in some stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute. In the 1980s, nobody was, like, that was not, it became big, like there was a time in the 80s that REM was like this alternative band that nobody in the mainstream world cared about. But now when people look back to the 80s, they'll say REM. And it's like, okay, yes, they did finally explode a little bit. But sometimes people's memory of how it was is sometimes a little misguided, that something was not near as mainstream as a decades channel may present it to be.
Sure, sure. That's something that's worth considering.
Yeah, and it's hard, and obviously unless you live through it, then you don't really know. It's, you know, you don't really see that, because I was there at the beginning of rap, and I heard every music critic and music publication in the world going, this is a fad that will never last. It's stupid. It's not even real music. This is absurd.
I mean,
this whole thing.
And I felt like I saw that with Auto-Tune when T-Pain was doing his thing. T-Pain, I mean, Auto-Tune existed before that, but the way that he used it was so, I guess, cranked up.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely, yeah, he definitely did things with it that others weren't, but...
I mean, that's what Drake did forever. When he first started, I mean, obviously, it's not the same. T-Pain and Drake are not making the same music, but he was Auto-Tune rapping a lot at the beginning.
And I think it just shows that things come, things go, and what dominates. Trust me, if someone had the formula, they would definitely make it work, but you just don't.
So, as a fun joke, what's the opposite of the trap that we see now? Let's just assume that it's not like this. This doesn't mean anything, but let's assume some person hears his dad listening to trap, hates trap. What's he going to get into that's going to become the next big thing? Is it country again? Donald Trump is president. Could country come back as the dominant force?
Yeah, I don't think it will ever become a dominant. It's always going to be pushed back to some level, just because of its lyrical content and its kind of its culture in which it arises from.
Sure.
So it's always going to kind of be pushed a little bit back. They found ways to become more and more and more accepted, but I don't know. I don't really know. Who knows? It's so. I mean, I guess the problem is today, and because I know you probably have to stop, so and I can talk about this for about 37 years. I think the problem with it today is it is so hard now not to be able to figure out what's going on or where things are going, because it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I'll sit there and hit Apple Music, and it's just like. If I could focus on one thing, maybe I could get a better grasp. But if I'm trying to keep up with everything, which now I have the ability to keep up with everything, it's like you just drown with
It's not just music either. It's everything. It's television shows, movies, video games. You know, everything is so well. Everyone can post everything. Everyone can read everything, right. And it's become so marginalized. And we mentioned that earlier. You know, I'm assuming back in the 90s, you didn't have accessible to you 300 albums, we'll say, nicely, every week that were getting released, that everyone could choose. The one, like, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to listen to rock. It's I'm going to listen to this subgenre of rock.
Right. No, yeah, it's just, I think you just basically then, like, you heard something or someone told you about something, or if you're at the record store and there were a lot of people talking and or the record store was playing it or someone on radio said something about it, then you're like, okay, I'm going to go spend my money on this because I've heard a lot about it. But you had limited money of albums you could buy. And so, you know, something kind of blew up and then everyone was just kind of drawn to that because they like, am I going to go to the store and like, I don't know what that album is. Am I going to drop $15 on that CD that I've never heard? You know, it was different. And
music
so now,
subscription services are the reason why I listen to everything that I do, because I hit too many months in a row where I spent all my money on albums.
Well, I did that for a good portion of my life, but in some ways I missed that because when you bought it, you would listen to it over and over and over because you bought it. You know what I'm saying? And so
there's definitely the perceived value has changed when you stream a song and then you listen to an album and you never listen to that album again.
Yeah, exactly, because you don't own it. It's no ownership, so therefore it's disposable. And
do you think it's better or worse that everyone can listen to such specified things instead of everyone being able to talk about the same things now?
I don't know, because on one hand you would think because people have so much available to them that they would be exploring more. That maybe they are, because we don't get enough information to know exactly what people are doing.
But also, if 300 albums are released each week and everybody listens, everyone picks one of those albums, but the majority of people pick one, that's still going to rise above and you're never going to hear about the one.
Right. But there's still plenty of other people out there listening to other stuff. It's just you got to find them. Because obviously, if all that other stuff wouldn't be listening to, those streaming services wouldn't be wasting the time hiring editors to create playlists.
Sure.
Or genres that we don't think anyone cares about. They know they've got the numbers in front of them.
There's an Apple Music hard rock playlist. That's not in the top 100. That's not on the Billboard top 200. That's not on the radio.
Right, but they know that there's enough people paying attention to that playlist that they're hiring an editor to create it.
Apple Music actually does a really good job. And obviously you can't do this for every single subgenre of every genre because,
right,
like we said,
right,
there's too much release. But they actually do a decent job of, even if you like something that's not in the limelight, doing at least a little bit of curating there to show you what's up, which is cool.
Yeah. Right. And then all the different shows they have on Beats One, I think, is where they really shine, because I can listen to Matt Wilkerson, who's going to be emphasizing stuff that Julie won't, and Julie will be emphasizing stuff that Zane won't.
Well, even their new releases of the week playlist, like the podcast version's only an hour long, but the playlist version's about 3 hours long or something, depending
right
on the week. And
right,
I mean, you're going to get music in there that is
right
is basically irrelevant to everyone else except, you know, two people.
Exactly. Or what we perceive to be two people, because I think...
Sure, it's hard to know when all you see is the same thing on the charts all the time, every time.
Exactly, and those charts are important because they do show you what is dominating or what is influencing, but some of that other stuff, I think that they're... I mean, it's just hard to know anymore what people are doing because, well, as you know, obviously there's hardcore music fans out there. Finding them, creating a group of them that you can discuss it gives you a greater perception, but so many people, when you're out there trying to talk music, you can't get people to talk about it because they don't really care enough to talk about it.
Yeah,
but when
yeah
you can find those people who do, all of a sudden you discover, wait, you listen to what? Wait, you love what? But it's hard to find where those people are. Clearly they're there, and clearly streaming services know that. I mean, if you look at some of the pop, I mean, look, just go on. Spotify shows you how many people subscribe to some of those playlists, and you're like, wait, this subgenre has a million subscribers to this playlist? What? And you're like, I didn't even know a million people liked it. So I'll look at some of the numbers for how many followers a playlist on Spotify will have, and I'll just look at it and kind of go, that's pretty impressive. Now, I don't know how many times those people actually listen to the playlist, but at some point they decided to follow it. You know?
Sure, I want, like, in 2018, one, like, a couple things. Like, one is the overabundance of content available, everyone's able to find something very specific to themselves. There's the idea that I've always said, which is every album that gets released might be somebody's favorite album ever.
Correct.
And you can get, you know, 10 of those people, and they can be one of the most avid fan bases in the entire world. And if they can find each other, that's this awesome little hole. And you know, 10 is a low number, but I mean, you get 100,000 people that listen to this person, and
right,
that's a thing that you never see represented.
Right. And it's hard to know how to represent it because, like I said, I mean, charts only kind of show you what's dominating. They don't really show you what else is going on in the world. And that's how, like, in the 80s, and part of the 90s, that little world was known as college radio. Every time they had a college radio station, they were playing this stuff that mainstream wasn't. They were playing the REM before anybody knew who REM was. They were playing YouTube before anybody knew. And so you're kind of like, whoa, this is some music I've never heard before. And so, and if you listen to people who talk about that time, college radio was like this oasis. And what happened is a lot of that stuff was the stuff that became the thing that dominated that coming generation of young people. And so I think with streaming, it's the same thing. That stuff is out there that could possibly be the catalyst of a massive change within the mainstream. Do we have the ear to hear it? I don't know. I don't know if we do. I don't know if I do, because I think it may be harder now to predict than it was in the past. I think now it's just really difficult because, will people hear it? Well,
it's like predicting what will go viral on YouTube next.
Well, that's a good way of I mean, you probably know more about that than me, because I've never really followed how the viral trend can transfer over into how it impacts music. I know it does.
Yeah, I wasn't even talking to music. I'm talking like there's just the abundance of everything is so much that it's kind of almost impossible, because you can't be monitoring all sources at the same time.
Exactly. So what I do is, I mean, I listen to a lot, but you know, it's just like today I was listening to Alt Nation on Sirius XM. Well, they have their top eight. They do, I think, a couple times a day. And yep. I've listened to some of their top eight tracks, and I was like, okay, I wasn't aware this was as popular as I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even hear this before. And so, and then I'll turn to XMU, and I'm like, wait, they're saying this is the thing. And I'm like, wait, where was this? And so, and then you'll go to something else, and that's one of the beauties of having so much available to you, but it can also make it then hard to know where to look to find that next thing.
So quick question before I got to bounce. Did you hear the Fall Out Boy album, any, on that Alt Nation station?
Not today. I see. Have I heard any Fall Out Boy? No. I haven't heard any Fall Out Boy.
Because I feel like that album came and died in a way that they've had a song or two recently on their past couple releases that at least stuck around for a little bit.
Actually, you're right. It died relatively quick. It died really quick, if you think about it. So, I don't know. I don't know really what happened. I don't know why it died out so fast. In fact, today the big thing was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs album from what year was it? It's the anniversary of it. 2010. I don't remember the year, but they played a lot from that and talked a lot about that, because it's the anniversary of its release, or April 29th was the anniversary of the release. So they were talking a lot about that and playing a lot of that. But the Fall Out Boy kind of just. I almost forgot that even happened.
Yeah, because it sounded like it might be okay, because it followed some of the quote-unquote current trends, but then I feel like it just died on the vine. But then again, you never know, because sometimes pop radio picks up something 8 months after it, you know, came. I mean, I am super blanking on the dude that you say is like modern-day Prince or Michael Jackson. What is his name?
The guy or the girl?
Dude, what's that song that did a song with Cardi B that was 90s remix?
Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars. The Bruno Mars album came out a long time before it started getting radio play.
Oh, yeah. And then it just kept growing and growing. Who knows? Yeah. I think the thing, going back to the Fall Out Boy, the thing that confused me is, it fit right along in with the Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And Imagine Dragons dominated, was all over the place. So what happened? Is the Imagine Dragons sound over? Like, are they done?
I'd be okay with that. Not that I have a problem with Imagine Dragons, but it's been a bit, so it's time.
Well, I'm just saying, like, for a while, that sound was really dominating. And so then you had a lot of bands kind of came out with that Imagine Dragons sound, or that Imagine Dragons influence, and all of a sudden, like, okay, what just happened? But so sometimes you don't know when the bottom is about to drop out, and so some bands kind of adopt a sound, and then, well, next thing you know, they don't have a floor to stand on anymore. So who knows? That we'll have to wait and see.
And then you turn around, and you're Creed. Everyone hates you.
Oh, man. Talk about, yeah. All the Creed-sounding bands, because there's a bunch of them.
Yep. All right, man. Well, I'll catch you later.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Music Matters Episode 2 on WackMatters.com. If you like this show, maybe you could check out our comedy podcast called Life's What You Rate It, also at whackmatters.com. You can find us on Facebook or at Twitter, both Whack Matters, facebook.com/whackmatters, twitter.com/whackmatters. And also, if you go to our website, whackmatters.com, there is a donate button on the side there where if you like the show and you want to support it monetarily, you can click that button and shoot us some money if you'd like. Otherwise, yeah, you could send in feedback that you have to podcast@whackmatters.com. We'd like to get some feedback and thoughts. Maybe you have a differing opinion you'd like to let us know. You could send it there. Additionally, it really helps us out if you check out the podcast on iTunes and give it a rating there. That's actually useful as well. So hope you have a good day. Hope you enjoy the podcast, and we'll catch you next week.